This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
First story of the hour, Federal Territories Minister Khalid Abdul Samad said yesterday that all Tahfiz centres in KL that are found to be unregistered will be shut down by DBKL.
That's good news, I think, especially in light of recent headlines. This announcement came after the recent case highlighted in the press when 9 students were sexually abused by their principal at a Tahfiz centre in Kepong.
Polis sahkan menerima laporan berhubung kes liwat oleh pengetua yang melibatkan mangsa pelajar-pelajar sebuah pusat tahfiz yang terletak di kawasan Kepong Ibu Negara. Menurut kenyataan dari Timbalan Ketua Polis Kuala Lumpur, Datuk Zainuddin Yaakob, pengadu yang merupakan guru agama pusat tahfiz tersebut...
The centre in Kepong was found to be operating illegally. Minister Khalid was quoted after the shutdown announcement that the ministry does not want tahfiz centres to be given exemption just because they are religious institutions. They must still register with DBKL and the Federal Territory Islamic Religious Department, JAWI, and if found unregistered, we will not hesitate to close them down.
Meanwhile, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Dr. Mujahid Yusof Rawa, who's in charge of religious affairs, said 2 days ago that they are powerless to close down illegal Tahfiz schools in KL because they are under the jurisdiction of DBKL. Here's more of a statement from Kini TV, where he addressed how all 3 teachers of the Tahfiz school in Kepong had left the school in light of the principal facing sexual offence charges.
Kami bersikap proaktif. Kalaulah kita kata ini tidak berdaftar, satu. Yang kedua, kami dipahamkan guru yang mengajar 3 orang pun tak ada dah. Mereka telah meninggalkan tempat ini dah. So the children are left without supervision. Mereka hanya dipantau oleh senior student untuk mereka tasmik istilahnya, menghafal di depannya. Itu saja. Tidak ada guidance-guidance yang lain seperti disebut nak ajar pun, nak ajar fiqah ke, tauhid ke, let alone bahasa Arab yang merupakan asas kepada pemahaman Al-Quran itu. So, dengan tidak ada guru-guru lagi, bayangkan apa jadi kepada 40 orang 6 murid yang berumur daripada saya tengok tadi 8 tahun, 11 tahun sampai ke 16 tahun. Di mana mereka nak pergi? Mereka tak ambil SPM, mereka tak pergi sekolah biasa. So, kami melalui perbincangan dengan Ustaz Yusof yang mewakili penguatkuasaan operasi di JAWI, akan mencadangkan sekolah-sekolah yang tidak. Kita ada list di wilayah ini yang berdaftar dan kita akan cadangkan nama-nama itu dalam masa terdekat secara follow up. Kalau sekolah ini, tahfiz ini dalam keadaan begini, saya rasa dia tidak ada sustainability lagi untuk nak move on. Dan tak cerita lagi masalah kewangan dan sebagainya. So, kita bagi alternatif, ini sekolah-sekolah yang kita akan offer untuk yang diiktiraf. So, dia buat macam mana walaupun lah. Dia daftar, dia masuk, dia tengok, dia punya kualiti dan sebagainya. Supaya kebajikan anak-anak ini, di sebalik, dia boleh meneruskan hajat untuk belajar tahfiz. Tapi pada waktu yang sama, dia diintegrasikan dengan satu yang berdaftar.
All right. Both ministers, Mujahid and Khalid, have stated that parents must take their responsibility to check the status of the Tahfiz schools before enrolling their children. Khalid Samad in particular said, do not assume that just because the teachers look religious and pious means nothing will go wrong. That's a direct quote. He also said that they will come up with stricter rules for boarding schools, especially Tahfiz schools. This is very big news. I mean, after the Tahfiz fire last year, there was so much back and forth with regards to what to do, and the political will wasn't there to take such a strong stand.
And yet, I mean, the idea that our children should be going to schools that are registered and licensed, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very basic thing. You would think, and I'm just happy to see that this is, you know, now what they're planning to do, that it's going to all fall under that, because it's so important that it does.
And this is also, I guess, an example of the system working in a sense, in that, you know, the JAWI minister came out and said, oh, well, you know, that's not under our jurisdiction 2 days ago. And then since then, the DBKL minister has come out and gone, well, you know, let's take charge. And if it is under our jurisdiction, we're going to do what is necessary, right?
And the hopes are that, I suppose, with a system that appears to be running, that it's not going to require a reaction to a story for more protections to be put in place for our kids. Because that seems to be what we're seeing, right? That something happens and then there's a response, and that's all well and good. But ideally, nobody should have to get hurt in order for these things, you know, to happen.
But this is the change. The change is, in the past, something would happen and then there wouldn't be a response. Or there would be just an argument back and forth. I mean, after the fire, you know, when everything died down.
That discussion went on for months, it felt like.
But no change happened. As in, at least not from the authorities. Everyone kept making excuses, which is simply unacceptable, especially when it comes to children and schools. Our next story is a happier one. It's about the marijuana, the ganja, the Mary Jane, the pot, the weed.
We should emphasize that we are talking about medicinal use because that is the headline here. Malaysia is racing to be the first Asian country to legalize marijuana for medical
racing.
Use. Well, I mean, you mock, but it's a good thing. This is after public outrage over a death penalty handed to 29-year-old Mohammed Luqman, who was recently sentenced to death for possessing, processing and distributing cannabis oil.
Right. Water, Land and Natural Resources Minister Xavier Jayakumar said in a Bloomberg interview that the cabinet very briefly discussed the medicinal value of marijuana in a meeting last week and has started early and informal talks on amending the relevant laws.
So for now, the focus is on overturning a death sentence that was handed last month to Luqman. The cabinet has reached consensus to remove capital punishment in this man's case. However, garnering support for legalizing medical marijuana may yet be an uphill battle.
So Malaysia isn't the first in ASEAN to look into this industry within the region. Thailand's Ministry of Public Health is trying to persuade its military government to approve studying the drug so it can market it for medical use. The challenge for the government is how to draft new laws that are specific enough to differentiate marijuana for medical as opposed to recreational and other uses.
And
very difficult to do that.
Well, is it?
No,
is it Umabagan?
The Ministry of Health, which has the final say, remains sceptical about the medicinal value of cannabis due to lack of proof. I don't know necessarily how I feel about that because there are dozens and dozens and dozens of studies that other governments have used.
There are, but there is no denying that this is a heated conversation, or it tends to be, because
correct.
I suppose of the long-standing view of marijuana as a gateway drug. Earlier this year, we spoke to Dr. Maya Nagaratnam, pain management consultant and anaesthetist, about this very issue.
Actually, there's not very much good high-quality research done about the medical use of cannabis. What cannabis does is, throughout our body, we have cannabinoid receptors in the peripherals, mainly in our brain. So it's very useful in terms of anti-anxiety, for example. It's also useful particularly in painful conditions such as cancer-related neuropathic pain. It's used as an appetite stimulant in certain cases. It's used as a muscle relaxant in, for example, MS, multiple sclerosis. And this is how it has come to have some sort of niche area in medical usage.
That was Dr. Maya Nagaratnam. You can get the podcast from our BFM app. Just search for medical marijuana.
So Xavier Jayakumar went on to say that he would have to lobby for more support among the ministers, consider public opinion on the matter, and hold formal discussions with the ministries overseeing health, environment and trade. Now, we can't be a part of those formal discussions, but we can be a part of considering public opinion. Let us know what you think. Do you think it's a good idea to legalize marijuana, at least for medical use? You can call us. That number is 77332900.
And we've got a lot of you wanting to chime in. We've got Nick on the line. Nick, what are your thoughts? Thank you so much for holding.
Sure. Hi. Okay, good evening. So I think this is one of the things that I really appreciate is Muftis could give an opinion on this because, you know, rather than talking about underage marriage, this is also one thing that would be getting a lot of attention because, you know, I'm not a scholar and my opinion on marijuana would be, I assume it would be haram because it gets you high, which, you know, makes you lose your sense. And,
right.
You know, but you know, I have had not heard a single pinch about from Muftis about this. I would love to have a religious opinion on this, but then again, you know, these are the things that. But yet, there's still, you know, medical morphine, for example, which
right.
It would help to have a religious opinion on this, especially for Malays and Muslims.
That's a good suggestion.
Thank you very much. Yeah. That's a very, very good idea. And actually, if you happen to be a religious scholar and imam, if you're listening to us right now, we'd appreciate if you call in, because that's a very pertinent point. What happens when items, not just alcohol and cigarettes, for example, but also like prescription drugs actually get you high and make you lose your senses? Where does that fit in with religious doctrine?
Especially considering that it may be a medical necessity, right?
So, absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of, I mean, let us know. I mean, that's something that I don't think we fully considered.
No, yeah. Not at all. 7733 2900 is the number to call. We've got Yusuf on the line. Hey, Yusuf, thank you so much for holding. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you have kind of missed the point.
Carry on.
One, we're talking about smoking the stuff, mm-hmm. and the other one is about CBD. Mm-hmm. Now, the original point of this boy getting caught was that he was selling, or rather, he had in stock in his hands, was CBD. Now,
yes.
The CBD oil itself is actually for medicinal. It doesn't have the hallucinogenic properties, nor does it have the addictive properties. So therein lies the medical part of it. Now, in California, in America, for example, mm-hmm. they are doing the smoking part, which they subsequently added on, which, again, that's up to them. So the discussion actually should be on the CBD part first before, and we help out this boy from being,
yes.
you know, being strung up, all that sort of thing. And then only the matter about, can we smoke the stuff all around?
And I have a feeling that if we ever end up going down the path of legalization, it will be for the CBD stuff as opposed to the smoking up stuff.
Exactly. So let us discuss CBD as opposed to all these other fellows now talking about, but then it will send me around the corner, it will send you guys around the corner, it will get us all drunk, la, 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 la. It is medical after all. Okay. Now, that said, yeah? Now, in America, and a lot of the states are actually fighting for to get this thing legalized, the problem initially is that these companies who produce medicines,
right.
for example. So, if you can get this thing cheaper and better and cleaner, et cetera, why do I need... I can mention the name of a company, but that won't do.
No, but
thank you so much for.
But I get your point, and thank you so much for calling in. Actually, and that's a very good point. How this manifests, how this legalization actually manifests, is very important, because that'll be part of the discussion.
No, as well as how we frame it, right? Because I think it's one thing, I mean, we have been guilty of it, of making jokes. I mean, we played a little Cypress Hill earlier, but we are talking not about what we're smoking,
no.
but about the oil, and that's an entirely different property.
Absolutely. 7733 2900 is the number to call if you want to talk to us about smoking up.
For medical purposes.
Of course, that's exactly
yes.
what I meant. I mean, you know, being sick and requiring pain relief is no laughing matter. 018-789-8899 is the number to text. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
So we've had some messages that have come in. Shankar saying, apart from medical use, we can actually work towards reducing our debt with the tax that can be made from its sale. Good point. Fu says, it's unfortunate that someone needed to be put to death for using marijuana for pain and anxiety relief. This is not Walter White or Pablo Escobar. The legalization of marijuana should be led by the medical fraternity.
All right. Well done, Fu, and more points for the Walter White reference. What else is going on, Lynn, with regards to medical marijuana? Do we have any calls? No?
I think we did have a call. Yes, please call us back.
Yeah,
or, you know, just... You're hoping to speak to somebody about
yes,
medical marijuana.
Because I know Malaysians feel very passionately about this, right? When we found out about the death penalty case, you would have seen it on social media. It was mental. I mean, on Twitter, on Facebook.
There were petitions.
Even Nurul Izzah came out and said, and that's what kickstarted this whole thing, I'm assuming, that for the first time, an MP in government has come out and said, you know, this is unacceptable and we have to do whatever we can to actually save this gentleman who was trying to help people.
And thankfully, I mean, that appears to have happened. Now, whether or not we can kick that forward into actually legislating this is kind of another matter. In the meantime, I think we have a caller.
All right, 7733-2900 is the number to call. We've got Chu on the line. Chu.
Hi, good evening, Lynn and Uma.
Hi.
Hey, good evening, man. So tell us, I mean, how do you feel about medical marijuana?
I'm all for it. You see, I support it fully, but I believe that a really thorough study has to be done to ensure that the rakyat doesn't abuse it. And I'm talking about medical marijuana, not recreational use.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there are more substances out there which are legal, which are also prone to abuse, such as nicotine and alcohol. Because if you see someone intoxicated with alcohol, would turn really aggressive. But if you imagine someone which is intoxicated with cannabinoid, I don't think they would be aggressive.
Right.
So I believe the government should open up on this, but definitely it doesn't happen overnight. And I really support it. And hopefully we can be the pioneers in this region.
So you're feeling encouraged by the statements that have been made by the government?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, that's good.
All right, Chu, thank you so much for your call. We've got Johan on the line. Johan, thank you for calling. What are your thoughts on medical marijuana?
My thoughts. I think marijuana as a gateway drug is very it's a very half-baked sort of view, because haven't we thought of alcohol? You know, it's mind-altering, it's
right.
Addictive, it's harmful. Why isn't that considered a gateway drug as well?
Yeah, so, no, you're right. I mean,
similarly with cigarettes, it's addictive, it's harmful, and it's bad for you.
Yeah, no, we completely agree. I think it's just traditionally money has been made off of both cigarettes and alcohol, and they kind of haven't wrapped their heads around the idea of or the notion of marijuana. And I suppose it's been an easy drug to demonize.
Exactly. And I think it's high time that we consider what good can come out of it. Medicinally speaking, that is.
I also, Johan, liked your half-baked pun. Well done.
Thanks for calling, Johan.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much. 7733-2900 is the number to call. Keep those thoughts coming in, especially with regards to medical marijuana. Now, our next story is about another potential avenue for the sharing economy. Are we ready, Lynn, to stop buying clothes and start renting them?
Where did all my money go? I know I made some.
At 400 bucks a pop, how many of these do you have? 50?
Come on.
100?
Would that be wrong?
100 times 400. There's your down payment.
Well, that's only 4,000.
No, it's 40,000.
I spent $40,000 on shoes and I have no place to live? I will literally be the old woman who lived in her shoes.
So we might not all spend as much money on our clothes and shoes as Carrie Bradshaw, made famous in Sex and the City.
Yes.
But it's still worth looking at the story that's come out of the BBC's Circular Economy series, which is one that highlights the ways we're designing systems to reduce the waste modern society generates by reusing and repurposing products.
Yeah. So a Beijing startup called Y Closet is trying to disrupt the fast fashion market in China by trying to go mainstream with the idea of fashion rentals. Now, earlier this year, a rather surprising marketing video went viral in China, fronted by a social media influencer called Jiang Chacha.
Well done.
Right?
Yes.
Thank you. Who takes viewers on a tour, not of a trendy night spot or clothes store, but an industrial scale laundry operation.
Right. So the concept behind this, behind showing off steam cleaners and microscopes and washing machines, was to reassure consumers of the cleaning process of the garments in between loans. Because basically, Y Closet is betting that once it's ironed out wrinkles, such as anxieties over cleanliness, fashion rentals are going to go big.
Right.
Fashion is now one of the most polluting industries in the world. The textile industry alone produces more greenhouse gas emissions than the aviation and shipping industries combined. And the sheer amount of clothes we consume, which already accounts for more than half of all the textiles produced, is expected to keep going up, from 62 million tons in 2015 to 102 million tons by 2030. At that rate, the fashion business would need to use 35% more land and 50% more water.
there's this cute expression in China that you know the color and fashion next season by the color of the rivers in China.
Linda Greer with the Natural Resources Defense Council has studied the fashion industry in China for more than a decade. China makes more than half the world's clothing and textiles, adding up to a $267 billion business there. But the government's tolerance for all the water the industry uses and all the waste it leaves behind is running out.
So we played that clip fundamentally because, fashion rentals kind of help to disrupt the whole fast fashion environmental cycle, which is happening, which is, you know, basically what we just heard.
Yeah, most of the environmental blame actually lies at the door of fast fashion, which is what these businesses aim to disrupt or interrupt, right? Now, White Closet is following the same path as firms like New York-based Rent the Runway, which pioneered the rental concept back in 2009, that was ages ago, as well as its San Francisco rival, Le Tote, and in the UK, Girl Meets Dress.
And the CEO and co-founder of Rent the Runway, Jennifer Hyman, has been explicit about her ambition to put H&M and Zara out of business. So I guess what we wanted to talk about was whether or not, you know, people are ready to rent clothes. I mean, because the idea here is that people are not renting fancy clothes, you know, not tuxedos and dresses, but work clothes, day-to-day
everyday
stuff.
Everyday clothes, right?
Yes, exactly. And some people even think that, some clothing budgets might go half-half, half-buying, half-renting.
I don't know.
Are you ready for that?
See,
what do you think?
You know, when you think about tuxedos and stuff like that, you're like, oh, sure. Yeah, you know, I'm happy to rent a tuxedo because an actual tuxedo can cost 6,000-7,000 ringgit and you don't want to splurge that much for something that you may wear once a year, maybe. But for everyday clothes, people will just end up buying only their underwear from now on, right?
I like owning clothes. I'm trying very hard to be better about what I buy, but that doesn't change the fact that fundamentally I like buying and owning my clothes.
Yeah, I think I'm the same with books.
So you don't like book renting?
No.
Actually, I agree with that too.
I've gotten over the movie thing and the music thing in the sense that for the longest time I enjoyed owning my music, but now I'm all Spotify'd and Apple Music'd up.
Which is actually the comparison here. They're hoping to be the Netflix or the Spotify of clothes. I mean, let us know what you think. Are Uma and I just, you know, kind of baseless consumerists who will stop at nothing to
pretty
own
much
things? Are you ready to rent your clothes? That number to call is 7733-2900. You can also keep your thoughts coming on medical marijuana.
We've also got Joe on the line. Joe's calling to talk about fast fashion and also fashion rentals. Joe, how would you feel about renting all of your clothes?
Some of your clothes.
First of all, I don't think anyone could fit into my size. I'm not being more plus size. So
this is radio, Joe. You don't have to be so honest.
Yeah, well, it's okay. I'm honest about my body size. But I don't think it will work because, number one, we don't have the volume of people in this particular context. Secondly, because we don't have a variety of wardrobe because of our season.
Right.
We have hot and wet, that's it. So it is a bit difficult for daily clothes. I would suggest instead people look at hitting thrift shops or what we call bundles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So you can get really good fashion there. Even if you're talking about branded items, you can get things for a steal. Literally. So
I agree completely. I'm a huge bundle shop fan.
I am too. I got really high-end fashion suits, full suits for like 200 ringgit, 150 ringgit, original, authentic, which sells for about £400 on eBay. So you just have to hunt.
Fantastic. Joe, before we let you go, what's the traffic looking like out there?
Well, I'm on the Federal Highway and it is hell. It is the largest parking lot in the world.
Well, we will promise to keep you entertained.
Yeah, but before I leave you guys have done a great job. And can I say, legalize it before Singapore does.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for your call,
Joe.
Thank you.
We better do it fast.
Thanks a lot. We've been talking about many things, medical marijuana as well as renting fashion. 7733-2900 is the number to call.
Yes, and if you're stuck in a jam, our condolences. But, you know, keep in touch.
Keep in touch. And we're going to try our best to keep it bearable for you. We've got some messages coming your way and then name that tune. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.